Let's go for the actual store. Europa, natural. Greetings, humanity. Here we are again with a new guest. I'm Nemo Jones, reporting for Beauty from Devon, Albion, otherwise known as the UK. And if we just go around and quickly introduce ourselves, say where we're from.
I'm Chris Jansen from Northern California, United States.
Hi, I'm Yvonne from Norfolk in the UK.
Derek Bartolicelli out here in beautiful southern France by the Mediterranean. Can't be complaining, friend.
Yeah, I'm Oscar from Denmark. And today we're speaking about the topic of the property. Should I go? Should I do an introduction about it?
No. I'm just going to give Chris a chance to just introduce himself to our audience, if we indeed have such a thing, and I think we do. And so the question really, Chris, is just like, what brought you to natural law? What your journey is? You know, just a brief rundown of like how you came to be wanting to put yourself live on the internet to talk about stuff like this.
Sure. Thanks, Nemo, and I appreciate you having me as a guest here on your show. I've been kind of watching from behind the scenes as your show has emerged, and you guys have been doing these episodes, and I've been kind of cheering from the background, and I do a show called the End Evil Podcast, and I'll shout you guys out there, too, like, look what they're doing at Europa, and I think that's cool when people take the time to talk about natural law. It's a difficult concept in a world that doesn't seem to recognize the validity of objective morality and the importance of right and wrong and defining them on a personal level. And for me, that all changed. It's been quite a few years now, but I started looking into 9/11. I blame the iPad. The iPad's what brought all this. I was like, crystal ball. What is going on in the world? How could people not understand why the buildings are just falling down? That's not supposed to happen. You know, and it started bringing me all this stuff, chemtrails, and then I started getting into weather engineering and worked my way through a lot of freedom-type content and eventually ended up on Mark Passio's Natural Law Seminar and then going through his whole podcast and Larkin Rose and a lot of work from Michael Tesserian and all these content creators. I started discovering that started kind of inching me forward down this path of realization. And I had this kind of like matrix awakening and I quit my job. And ever since I've been trying to find a way to broadcast the importance of morality and natural law. I think that is the fundamental question and answer that needs to be dealt with in order for us to move forward as a race. And I really base all my stuff on this book right here, Jeremy Locke, The End of All Evil. I think it really encapsulates the message that we all need to be working on learning and teaching. So that's my short as I can make it.
Right.
Thanks.
Thank you. So, yeah, as Oscar said, today we're going to be talking about property. The title of the show, I put was what is property, and I think there is some sort of edges here that like do, you know, there's a little bit of a question around it. Certainly for myself, I'm kind of really feeling into it in recent times. When I was writing my recent piece about what is natural law, I found that there was something around property and rights where I really had to kind of, in good conscience, I couldn't just kind of restate the things that I'd heard in the natural law kind of movement. I felt like something, you know, and I've been trying to debate this with, well, I have been debating this with people a bit for myself. So I'm a bit I'm in a bit of an experimental kind of phase with this in my own thinking and trying to really work it out. And I think for me, the question of property is quite, there does seem to be kind of disagreement about certain bits of it, and specifically when it comes to land and the exact boundaries of what's owned, what does it really mean? And I think that even in law, property is very actually hard to define, kind of notoriously. So it's an interesting topic, and we've been debating it on the Telegram group this week, amongst other things. And I'll just say that's linked in the description. The Telegram group is very active, great discussions on natural law. And you're welcome to join it. And we'll also be going directly there after this show and just carrying on the conversation, which we do every week. I think that's all I need to say. And then I was just going to pass over to Oscar to kind of give us a rundown of, you know, what I think of as the conventional view within the natural law movement. I think it's kind of okay to say, and you know, I'm not against it. I'm just kind of like having questions about it, which I maybe hopefully we'll have time to kind of touch on some of that. But yeah, if you'd like to kind of run,
most definitely, yeah. I think we should make time to get into those questions. It's great that you have some questions, and it's also cool if we through different perspectives find out about our own, like how much do we know ourselves about like what if we can question our own ways of looking at things, and if we can maybe even you know, help each other expand our horizon, that would be great, and I think we should aim for that. So I'll start off and the title of this discussion is what is property, which is a great way to start a conversation, just to answer the what of what something is. And I'll just look up the word in a dictionary, and maybe Derek, you can share my screen.
Sure. I mean, I got the etymology page up right now if you want me to just...
Oh, yeah. Maybe share that. Maybe share that. That would be cool.
In from 1300, properté, natural quality, distinctive character, always present in an individual or class. Later, kind of also meant possession of land or goods owned, things subject to ownership. You know, from Anglo-French modification... Properté, individuality, rare before.
You nailed it there. So it kind of started off. That's at least what I've come to find, is that it started off as meaning quality. So the property of something as being that it is related to something, or it's like, for example, a property of my biological organism being is that of having this gender, or is the property of having this age, or having the physical attributes, right? Those would be properties. Or for example, a property of my being is that of being a thinking being, right? I have a consciousness, I have a mind, and in that way we can understand that property is kind of related. That's why in this image that I'm sharing, which is like a screenshot from the dictionary, I also shared the definition of for proper. So proper, like when we say everything in its proper place, everything has its proper place, like its rightful place, you could say. It's also a synonym you see here in the definition B, or in the it says like right, or it's the fitting thing, the suitable thing. So proper, we might think of it like, oh, you have to have manners, or you have to be like a specific, there's a specific way of doing it, but it's also like the the appropriate. Yeah, maybe I'm kind of ranting a bit here. So I guess I was just trying to say that property, in that way of relating to the nature of something, like for example, the proper place for a bird, you would say maybe is the sky or is a tree, right? It's related to its being. It's where it's in its natural habitat, and in that way, you can see also well. The property of a being is it's that being's nature, or it's that being's
life.
Yeah. And then it kind of goes into where we're speaking about, well, what can be property? What can be a property of a being? And then we can speak of, it's like it's the possession of something, or it's what is owned by a being, and that's where it gets interesting, because that's where I think the different perspectives come into the picture. So I know that this was a long rant, but if I had to kind of sum it up, I would say property means something which is owned, and that's for me is like the simplest, the shortest way I can define it, is anything that is owned, anything that is, you could even say rightfully owned, if we're speaking about rightful property or like true property. Because that kind of covers both. It does cover like, I own the qualities or the attributes that are part of my being, but I also own those things which are in my possession, or which are in my rightful possession, that's why also I want to share this slide of Mark Passio in his natural law seminar. He defines ownership as three things that if one owns something, an individual maintains rightful possession of that thing and maintains the control of usage, which means one decides how one is going to utilize that thing. And then also one has responsibility for it. One has the responsibility to take care of it, to maintain it. And for me, that was actually it really hit hard when I understood that it was really related to starting to understand rights better. And I would define property as anything that is owned, and ownership as meaning one did not steal it, one is in rightful possession of it, one decides how one uses it, and one is able to take care of it. It is no one else's responsibility to take care of it. And then maybe before we go into other questions, I think it would be cool if we all maybe did the same thing here, shared a bit. What do we think property means, or ownership means, and do we have like some common ground here when it comes to defining that?
Yeah, sure. I mean, I'll just piggyback off of what you said in regards to, you know, property rights. Oops. So what is property? Something that we own. We came in here as a soul. We embodied this, you know, meat suit or whatever you want to call it, it's something we have to take care of. We have to find the ability to respond properly to it and respect it and defend it as well, because you know, with this, you know, life essence we have in this matrix, or just in this world, you know, our freedoms are being impeded on, and our free will. We don't have all the free will choices that we actually should in our proper natural state. So, yeah, there's a lot to consider. And, you know, just, and also we're going to get into this because, yeah, just from the materialistic point of view, like, oh, like everything belongs to the earth. Everything's temporary. So like, it's not even worth owning anything really. Sometimes like it just seems a slippery slope. Sometimes people have this train of thought, and it's like, well, where do people live? You know, where do animals live? You know, think birds don't make a nest through the earth, and you know, the sticks and all these things, you know. So It reminds me of a really great chat we had with Chris Jansen and the One Great Work Warriors talking about the book Ishmael. And in there, they have the concept of leavers and takers. And that is in respects to how we treat Mother Nature. And are we taking more than we actually need and able to just, or are we able to, you know, take what we need and leave the rest for, you know, to keep the abundance going, right? So, yeah. Oh, la la, mon ami. Magnifique. Yeah, that's all I'm going to say for now. So, Yvonne, someone?
Oh, yeah. My understanding, obviously, I agree with what you just presented, Oscar, and is when I think about like ownership, what do I own? I own nothing apart from my body. Even like the car I drive, I don't really own that. I don't own any possession. I don't have a problem with anyone owning houses, even land to a certain degree, if it's being respected. But what I was going on about on the chat in the last few days is that we've all been born into this world, and it just seems a bit out of balance, because land ownership, I think most of it, there's probably 1% of the population that's acquired owning land that's just in some way. The rest, I think, has been acquired through theft. It's either been stolen from someone else or no, it has. It's just been stolen from other people. And I can't get my head around that, how we as as human beings have sort of kind of accepted that. I did, as I always do, a little bit of research before I came on, and just taking the UK, for instance, there's 600 million acres in Great Britain, and only 1% of the population of Britain own it. And we're all like squashed into tiny little towns. Like, I don't know. I don't know what to do about it, because I don't want to be a victim to it, but at the same time, I don't want to use violence either to sort of try and claim the right to just go and grow some vegetables or just live a nice life on even half an acre of that land that other people own. But there's just so many rules and regulations in the way, and I have sort of tried to set up things in the past, and the system has come down pretty hard on me that hasn't allowed me to even have a community allotment. And I just wanted to point that out, how I think ownership, what I'm trying to say is I think ownership of land is, I don't think anyone should own it. I don't want to sound like a communist or anything. And I know it does kind of sound like that. But as soon as someone has made that claim that they own it, I think that's where all the trouble has started. It's who owns it really? Who owns the land itself? And there's fucking hell, there's so much land on this planet. There's enough for everyone to be enjoying it and communing with nature. And, what do we do about, I don't know, I don't want to bore you, but I wrote down how much. Like, I'm the neighbour of King Charles III. He only lives around the corner from me. So I get faced with it every day, how much land that he actually owns. And so I broke down today all the main landowners of the UK. And it was so interesting because obviously the military, they own a lot of land. charitable organizations which the king is actually the patron of, so he's got his hand in that. Utility companies, the Church of England, which he's the head of. So basically, in Britain, the king in this country owns most of the land. And I don't know what to do about it. I don't want to be violent or anything, but it just seems a bit. Yeah, I don't know what to do about that. I just think it's just totally unfair, immoral, and not good. And I know there's people from other countries. I don't know if you'd be interested in this, but what was the figure? Yeah, the royal family, they own, what is it? Oh, yeah. I couldn't even say it. I had to ask fucking Google how to actually pronounce it because it was coming up in big figures. It's 600 billion and 600,000 across the globe that one family actually own. And it's
I'm just gonna jump in, Ivan, because I really find it crazy and interesting as well to think about those claims of ownership and when we're speaking about what is owned by who and what is claimed to be owned by who. And I really think we should dig into that. I'd also love, before that, just to get everyone on the same page, I just want to make sure that Nemo and Chris also feel as though we're speaking about, like, it'd be cool to know how you define property. And then I would love to continue exploring what you're talking about, Ivan, about land as property and like, you know, people owning absurd amounts of land and so on.
Yeah, I just wanted to point out that in that ownership, it is actually enslaving us, that's all.
Yeah, it's insane. Chris, Nemo?
Can't hear you, Nemo.
I'll go ahead.
I was saying, Chris, did you want to come in?
Sure. Yeah. And I was just going to say I really liked the definition, Oscar, that you shared. And to me, it's pretty right on. But what I normally like to kind of think about in some of the talks is, like, I kind of split my mind into three. Like, in the beginning, I try to think of what's the problem? What's the crux of the problem here? Because in theory, I can see how, especially like when you look at anything philosophy, from the outside, it can seem convoluted. And I think even looking at our chat, sometimes people might be like, what are these guys? You know, it's circular reasoning, you know, like you guys are going in circles. But there's a lot of nuance on these things. And it's very difficult and complex because for years and years, certain people on this planet, maybe not even people, who knows, there's been a lot of violence and harm done to the minds of people on this planet to the point where people are very confused about the meaning of things because there's been a lot of lies told to people from the time in which they were very young. So a lot of these basic concepts like property, which seems really simple, things you can own, things you can have, right, is super obfuscated. You know, there's all these complications, and Yvonne's bringing up some of the things that, you know, come to mind, like, wait a second, what about, you know, all these people that are stealing on a massive, you know, and, you know, there is this problem of people claiming land, which, how do you really own something that comes from the creator and you can, that lives longer than you do, you know? And I understand those arguments. And so for me, the crux of the problem, really, the reason that property rights is so important and the crux of it is, I usually call it our skin. I feel like there's a natural boundary formed by the universe, formed by reality. And a lot of times we can find allegories or metaphors in nature, just the way creation is. And it shows us things, but we have to kind of use our right brain a little bit along with our left brain to really make this work. Because we can be really left brain and pick apart a word and this is the exact meaning. We're just talking about a thing, but there's also the spirit of the thing. and understanding of how it fits into the context of why is that important and what do we do because of that, you know? And so the crux to me of the discussion about property is my skin and my body, because the real confusion I see in the world is that we don't understand that as a race at all. Government owns you the way things are right now. They own your stuff, they own your time, and they own your labor. And that's where the crux of the problem is, that most people think that's okay. They don't see the problem that someone else is claiming ownership on 30 to 50% of everything you do. That's like someone saying your left arm is mine for your whole life, from the time you're born to the time you die. You can only have your right arm. The left arm belongs to our organization, which isn't even a human. It's an entity, which is kind of like a bad spirit in my mind, like a demon, you know? So, you know, that's my important thing, is that, like, I understand the arguments and disagreements where we get into the weeds about who owns land. It can get very tricky. But do you own your own body? Do you own what goes into it and what comes out of it and what choices you make with it? Is the crucial question that most 99.9% of the known world does not seem to understand at this point. And so it's so important from my point of view to kind of like really nail that home and really kind of like get that across. All the other stuff we're talking about is great and it's super important, because we got to figure all that out once we get this part of it figured out. Once we understand that basic boundary of our skin and we respect that you get to do what you want with your skin and I get to do what I want with my skin, then we could start figuring out what do we do with our tools and our stuff and our land. But we're not even there yet. We're still pre-kindergarten. And so that's kind of why I get hung up on the basic principle, because I don't feel like people out there really get that, you know. So that I'll pass it on, Dima. Thanks.
Yeah, so, I mean, it's a bit, I mean, I'm coming in from quite left field angle, really, into this conversation. So, I mean, I'll just... That's it. That's who I am. That's where I'm at, sort of thing. So it's, I like to sort of really, if I can, get to fundamentals and also like pull apart fundamentals and kind of see like, well, is this, you know, what's really here? And that's what I've been doing with this subject. So I've been looking into the idea. I tried to like really simplify it, like what you've said, Chris, but I kind of was like, I really spent quite a long time really contemplating this, meditating on this. And I'm sort of exploring the idea that actually it's not the skin, but it's actually the free will, that which we've just been discussing behind the scenes. But that's the thing for me that I feel is, it's not just the thing that I feel that I own my own choices, you know, as in every word that comes out of my mouth is my, you know, I'm choosing that. And that's kind of undeniable. It's like, that's what life is this process of choice. It's like what defines life. And it's what defines, you know, my possession of this ability to choose, you know. So so to me, it's like there's no doubt, it as far for me, as far as feeling into it, that's what the primary thing that I own is, and it's the thing that's kind of can't be taken away. It's just so primary. And it's also like when I encounter another being, it's not really about their skin, it's about their free will as well. That's what the negotiation is going to be about. You know, if there is anything to negotiate, that's what it's about. It's about, well, you have your will and I have my will. How are we going to work this out? You know, that's what life is really about. So I'm trying to pare it down. And I'm also sort of seeing these debates that happen where, like Yvonne said, you know, people start to say, oh, you're sounding a bit communist there or whatever, you know, because people are like, well, can you really own land? And all of these kind of questions come up. So I think there's a sort of wide spectrum of feeling about it. I would kind of feel it's almost is more feeling than thought in a way, or it's a combination. So, you know, on the one hand, you'd have the sort of masculine, left-brained, libertarian, homesteader, you know, with their, and they've got their gun and they're like, right, this is my, I've got my place, you know, there's that kind of approach. It's like, it's very material based. It's like, here, I've put a fence, now this is mine kind of thing. And then on the other side, you've got a much more kind of, less defined kind of longing for something quite different to that, which is more feminine, more right-brained, more empathic, and more about how we relate to each other and how we are, and how we, what we really are to each other. And so there's this question that comes up. You know, maybe I'm being a bit philosophical, maybe it feels like I'm wandering a bit off the subject, but you know, if we think about what do we want in the future, do we all want to be armed and able to defend ourselves and exercise the self-defense principle, you know, at that drop of a hat? Is that what we want? Or do we want to be brothers and sisters sharing, you know? And I know which one I want. There's no question in my mind which one I want, and which one is heaven for me, is to see, you know, it is to see, to be part of a family that is a functional family, you know, not a dysfunctional family. And so that's why the thing, this whole question about property, ownership, possession, it kind of feeds the problem with it is, or a problem with it is, that it kind of feeds into this fear, you know, fear of loss, you know. And when you start to, I notice this when it comes up in discussion, that a sort of tension seems to come up, and people seem to start to go, well, hold on, if you're saying, you know, you can't own land, then what? But what about my home? You know, it's like there's a fear based response potentially, and I'm not kind of dismissing the ideas of, you know, rightful ownership and stuff. Although, I mean, there's lots of chat going on. Unfortunately, we still haven't figured out how to get it up on the screen, but there's lots of chat on YouTube, and part of what's being said there is, well, how do you define rightful possession of, particularly, I think, of land? What does that actually mean? And, you know, I'm sure there is a clear answer for that. But just to kind of like detour a bit into that question, I've looked at, without, you know, and I'll finish on this just to go, I don't want to go on too long, but I've had debates with people where they've kind of compared land to anything, any other material thing, you know, and they've said, oh, land is just, it's just like a hammer. You know, you can own a hammer, can't you? Well, then you can own land, sort of thing. And to me, land is of a completely different order to any other material thing, because it's the plane of our existence. And so you know, if you're demarking, you know, if you're marking out, well, here's a place you can go and here you can't go, well, that's your freedom of movement. That's impinging on your freedom of movement. So, I mean, I thought of a sort of little analogy, but I won't, maybe I'll have time to sort of go through that a bit later, but I'll finish there. But that's kind of something about the approach that I'm kind of bringing to it. And one very quick last thing is that, you know, I think we're all in this we've developed a habit of like noticing what it is in our psyche, in our worldview, that's false. You know, we want to find what's false. And, you know, so I do have this question: is this whole paradigm of property false? Is it a false religion? You know, is it worth considering that's a possible, you know, the possibility of that this, you know, without wanting to be a communist, you know, which or whatever, you know, it's like, is it worth looking at and questioning. And for me, it is. I mean, I'm enjoying it, and I, you know, it's not to poo-poo anything that's that other people think, you know, or anything that's been established. You know, it's just, I think it's good to question, and that's what I'm kind of doing.
I think you touched upon a very interesting thing when it comes to when you described that maybe the only thing we can own is our free will. You said that it is something that cannot be taken away from us. And I thought that was an interesting aspect when we're saying that maybe an part of the way we should define property is something that cannot actually be taken away from us. I'm not saying that that's the way we should do it, but I'm asking the question, and the reason I'm doing that is because it's an argument I've heard before when the topic of property has been discussed. I've heard, well, if someone can take it from you, then you don't really own it, is an argument that I've heard, which I thought was interesting and also maybe related to that aspect we were speaking about before. Like, there's three aspects that Mark Passio uses to define property, and the third one is responsibility. If one is not able to take care of it or defend it, maybe one actually does not own it truly. That's one way of looking at it, right? But yeah, I think what it made me want to explore a bit more is, and which has also already kind of been explored in this conversation, is what can be owned, and also more deeply, what is it that cannot not be owned? I mean, a better way to describe that would be to say, what is it that is, like, is there property that one cannot abdicate ownership of? Is there things that we can't not own? For example, when we speak about ourself, can I truly not own myself or my mind or my body or my time and my rights? And it is a question. I mean, it's not a rhetorical question. I'm actually asking. Because on one hand, what one could say can come with one argument, and one could also come with other arguments. So that's one of the questions related to what is it that can be owned. And also another important question, I think, is what cannot be owned. And I think also we kind of touched a bit about on that, Nemo, when you spoke about the world you want to live in. A world of brothers or fraternity and sisterhood, where we don't own each other, and we understand that we cannot, like, any claim of ownership over another being is a false claim, is not a claim that is true in nature. I think that's kind of what, like, the most important thing when it comes to understanding what is it that I cannot own. I'm not in the possession of another being. Any other being, I'm not. I don't get to decide how to use, like, how another being should go about their lives, and I'm not responsible for for another being. Like, that's, everyone has personal responsibility. That's not to say that we cannot be stewards and be way showers or parents or uncles or aunts and grandfathers and grandmothers and so on. That we can be that positive example and be nourishing and protective and so on. It's to say that everyone has personal responsibility, and yeah, I think that's for me is like, because it's also the apophatic method of inquiry, right? It's exploring what ownership is or what property is by saying, what is it not? And yeah, I thought that was something I wanted to share. Another thing I wanted to share was this thing that you kind of spoke about with the fraternity of people in a society where people are sharing and have, like, what do you call it, support, like, yeah, where people are mutually supporting each other, right? And that is a beautiful thing that you see in nature, in the most cool systems of nature, where different beings or plants and so on, they collaborate, synergy is called, right? Or symbiosis, where you have this mutual support. And I don't think that is in opposition truly to beings being able to defend themselves and carrying weaponry or firearms. Of course, there is an extremity of that attitude of we should be able to defend ourselves. We should just, like, we should focus so much on our ability to be able to protect ourselves that we forget that we can also help each other out and share. And it doesn't become like, you're trying to step over my boundaries, you're trying to get mine. So there is some truth in that there is a schism that can happen, which you also touched upon, Chris, when you spoke about the left brain and the right brain. And I think we're going to maybe encounter that that topic as well some more in this conversation. And the last thing I want to say is, which is kind of tying in a bit what you were speaking about, Yvonne, and also the book, which is the book End of All Evil, which is the book that Chris's podcast is named after. And around page 50, it's a very short book. I think it's around 100 pages. And then it goes into around page 50 that that nations, there's a small chapter about nations. And it goes into this that we've spoken about. I'll just read from the book. It says, "Nations drew lines across the globe and eventually swallowed up every inch of inhabitable land known to man. All those who live within these lines become the property of the state." And I thought that was an interesting paragraph to share, because as Chris, you were saying, we're all taught ideas about property. We all encounter certain narratives and certain ideas that don't necessarily align with the truth of reality, of nature. And I think the most important ideas for us to get right, to heal in our own psyches, one of those ideas is the idea of property. And is that idea just a religion? Is it simply something people believe in? Or is it actually something, if I'm going back to the definition that I shared, where we say it, property both means an attribute, a quality of someone, but it also means something that they own, something that they aren't in possession of. And I think we should really own everything that is ours, like own it as in, like, you know, integrate it. And when people say own it, in the sense that you should take responsibility for it, right? We want to take, like, we want to claim everything that is ours to claim. We don't want to have things that are actually ours slip through our blindness. We want to be aware of who we are and what is ours. And in that way, also become aware of what is not ours, so that we don't violate others, don't violate that boundary. And so, yeah, I'm saying that there is, just as we've spoken about objective truth and objective morality, that there is such a thing as objective property. But I do see the challenge in defining that. And I also get the question of saying, how much is actually real when it comes to property? Is it just something that people believe subjectively? And because it does seem like it's in some ways a unique thing for people. To mind don't come a lot of other examples in nature of ownership, except, as you were saying, Chris, the ownership of one's own skin or what's of one's body, right? That's the most basic form of ownership. So, yeah, I think the question I'm asking in conclusion here of my rant is what can be owned?
A lot more than meets the eye, and especially that is before us. I mean, do we not have our own little kingdom within, you know, our own personal space that we've worked for, whatever, however you paid to acquire whatever things? So I guess this microphone is not my property, just because, you know, people want to over philosophize on what the fuck property rights are and all these things. Like, you see the slippery slope, and like, there's people that are so anti-materialist that they are throwing out logical fallacies all the time, and it doesn't help anything. Because, like you said, there's these psychopathic controllers that have drawn these fucking invisible lines, as mentioned in the book, Jeremy Locke. And it doesn't matter, you know, like if property is a religion or not, they tend to act upon it like it is. They're obsessed with it. They're ensconced in this belief that they need to control us at all fucking measures and all this stuff. And our own rights of, you know, our labor and even trying to acquire a house, we're still getting taxed. So technically we don't fucking own these things 100%, right? And with the great reset of fucking Klaus Anal Schwab bullshit, you know, they want us to own nothing and be happy. So it's getting fucking worse. So some of this anti-materialistic talk doesn't fucking, it doesn't matter. It's not important. It's not a fucking priority. You know what I mean? So I say that not to people on this table, but I hear things in internet land sometimes and it's just like, wow, where do we go from there, guys? Like, so you've never worked at a job before that has a building and they, you know, constructed something, it became a property and someone, you know, filled that space and created a restaurant and all this stuff and you work there and make money and all this stuff. You take it to natural law. You don't steal anything. You work in that place. People are tempted. Oh, I could take a fork or a glass or a bottle of champagne and take it to my house. Ask yourself this, was that yours to own, to take, to begin with? That's all that fucking matters. Did you own that before? And if you own stuff in your house and it gets stolen, how do you feel about that? You know what I mean? So, and then think about this, like when you're married or in a partnership, oh, I got my girlfriend or my wife, you know, it doesn't mean you fucking own them and you can control them and boss them the fuck around either, you know? So in a interpersonal relationship, we have to respect other people's property rights. And that includes, yes, their freedom, their free will, and their bodily autonomy. Those are the main three things that Mark Passio talks about in his slide. And yeah, like we delve into these things and we understand more about ourselves and we can, you know, reciprocate that self-care to other people and build this foundational brother-sistership thing. Yeah. and I feel like, yeah, so we're using some of the prima materia from Earth. Unfortunately, the dead entities, like Chris mentioned, the corporations, it's a corpse, right? Incorporated. Not that funny, especially when they're raping and pillaging the earth just for a lot of fucking profit. And they are continuing this insane economic cycle because they got their motherfucking shareholders, you know, expecting income and more of it every single, they can't get enough of it, right? So what happened to the good old essence of, you know, take it back to the Shire, right? In good old Hobbiton, where no one was forced to do anything. And we could take this back to our ancestors. People created things out of necessity. Like, oh, are we cold? Do we need socks? Do we need shoes? All this stuff. And so people were creating things not only for themselves, but for other people, for the betterment of everyone around them. So there's a lot of things to consider in the light of these topics and how we manifest these material things. And yes, it becomes a religion in a sense and into this materialistic narrow-minded mindset. And yeah, it's unfortunate because people, you know, tend to get greedy and like they're in this fear state, Nemo, like you said, like, oh, this is mine, I can't lose it, or what, you know, and they don't even want to share some of these things sometimes, you know. And yeah, so Chris, I want to hear what you were going to say because I was alluding to you. Or Yvonne, sorry, I don't know if I'm out of order.
Chris can go, that's fine.
Sure, I'll pop in next. I wanted to share something that Leslie sent to me because she's been thinking about this too, Leslie Powers. And I think it really relates to something you said, Yvonne. And she said, when we value ourselves, our intrinsic needs, our resources, and each other, then we will not waste or abuse those things. If we are suffering inside and operating unconsciously from wounded parts, we will act from greed, jealousy, smallness, and competitive hoarding. We can't ever get enough because external things, property, will never fill the real need. The abuse of property rights is a sign of psychological imbalance. It's an effect. And you know, I think she's right. I think that part of the reason this stuff is all so confusing is, like I said before, there's so much pervasive, confusing messages been put out for so many years, and people have been doing things in such a wrong way, like in Ishmael becoming takers. But I really appreciate, too, the words of Viktor Frankl. And Viktor Frankl, someone who I've always quoted because he, you know, experienced about as far as they can go, you know, killing your whole family, threatening to kill you, torture, all these things, right? He said, between stimulus and response, there is a space. That space is our power to choose our response. In our response lies our growth and our freedom. So I think that really, to me, encapsulates the flavor and the heart of what Nemo's saying. And I really appreciate that heart. I think learning to value how precious our choice really is the essence of what freedom is. And being able to value our choice, you know, is really what it comes down to, being able to choose. And so, you know, but that's just kind of finishing the thought I was saying before. I also wanted to provide some resources for folks on the subject of property. I think a lot happened during, you know, 100, 200 years back, maybe even a little more. Some of the socialism movements that came along produced a lot of writers that saw the problems with socialism and started doing a lot of writing about how to solve the problems that socialism created. And that's the things that you're kind of getting accused of, Nemo. I think of a story, these English settlers, traders land in a Haitian, I think it was Haiti, and they're trying to land their boats, and all these villagers come out and they just start plundering the ships and taking all these people's stuff, because that's the way they did things there in their village. They really shared openly. You're allowed to use whatever you want. They didn't have the same boundaries that we have in the modern times, nor the English people. So, you know, in some of these situations, it turned into a bloody killing. They just started killing them all because they thought they were stealing their stuff. But these islanders, they weren't stealing. That's just how they did it. They had different boundaries. And I think that goes to show that we don't have to do it a certain way. There's different ways to handle these things, right? But I would recommend to understand the progression of where we're at in time right now, is the context is really important. A lot of people lived through some pretty bad fascism and socialism. And I would point to, number one, Ludwig von Mises, and look up the Mises Institute. There's an incredible wealth of information there about property and property rights and how we could look at it. And the best speaker I've ever heard, I'm not the best reader. I love reading, but I'm a really slow reader. So I generally listen. And I've picked up an incredible information about Austrian economics through some of the outlets and podcasts that came out of the Mises Institute. And Tom Woods is another name you can look up. He's a very good speaker, a libertarian school of thought on this. And the one, though, that really sticks with me is Murray Rothbard. And Murray Rothbard, there's a lot of recorded of his seminars and speeches. And he loved to talk with people, like you're saying, Nemo. He loved to engage people and have people to his place. And he was a very good people person. He liked to discuss things and get deep into it, you know. And Murray Rothbard makes some really good points. And he says, property is the exclusive control over a resource. That's his definition. And this exclusivity is what allows individuals to act freely and pursue their own interests. So by having a common understanding with our community on what property is and where our boundaries lie outside of our skin is crucial to being able to trade and get along. And personally, as a craftsman, I understand better than most people the value of my labor. And when you have been living in a certain place or working in a certain place, let's just take a piece of art, for example. You came across a canvas and you spent 20 years of your life oil painting on that canvas. And then someone else is going to come across and say that has no value, you know, or that's not yours. You know, you put the time into it. You put the energy into it. And when you work for someone, your labor has a real value, even though it's not a physical world thing that we can see. often there may or may not be a physical world thing as the product of your labor, but your labor is an extension of your property, of your body, of your skin. And in a lot of ways, that's really crucially important to understanding how economical trade works and how we deal with the value of our time. And so if someone else owns your time or owns the product of your labor or the land which you've put your labor on, and this is really crucial when it comes to food because that's a survival thing. You need land to have crops to grow food. So that's where this stuff becomes crucially important because it deals with survival and the time and energy that we put into growing these crops on this land. Now you're going to say that's not ours, but we put all the labor and the time in. Maybe multiple generations of family having specific, meaningful connection on a certain piece of land. And then someone else come across and say, oh, that's not yours. You're not allowed to stay there anymore. They earned it by putting in the time and the energy and the labor to make it beautiful and to take care of it and be stewards. And someone in the chat brought up that idea of what about using the term stewards of land, you know, and then we respect each other's stewardship in that way, rather than saying, I'm going to shoot you. If you come on mine, you respect, oh, he's a good steward of the land. Last thing I would want to do is trample that land that's well taken care of and well protected. So, I mean, we're talking about a world that we're not even close to if we're talking about how are we going to do this in an honorable, moral way when we don't even understand that I own my own body, much less my labor or my things, which is our extensions of my body and my time and my energy. So I hope that helps some people have some directions to think about and some resources to go look up. I'll pass it on.
Yeah, that's great, Chris. Yeah, appreciate that. Just weighing out in conclusion to what you've all said, I think it's totally cool to say whatever you create, you have created, is yours. I think it's totally cool. And if you're using land to do that, then brilliant. That's totally cool. What's not cool is, just in simplistic terms, is acquiring property through theft. That's all. Just like keep it simple. And yeah, Nima, I appreciate where you were coming from and I really listened to what you were saying. And I think what I was getting from you in all the conversations that I've had with you before and this evening is that you're, correct me if I'm wrong, you're maybe looking at the effects of the immoral actions that have actually happened that's rendered us all in this situation for eons and eons and eons. And I'm suspecting that you're thinking that maybe some of the attitudes or solutions going forward are still, I don't know how to explain it, on the back of those effects. I don't know if that's what you were trying to consider and contemplate when you was contemplating what you was. Was it that?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I think this idea of like the future. Well, I'll run through a couple of things. One is like, you know, I'm shameless about being idealist. I want to be as idealist as I possibly can. I want to use my imagination to envisage the ideal. You know, that's like, that, as far as I'm concerned, that's what my imagination is for. And I don't know if I'm even that good at that. It's like, that's what I'm trying to do, you know, is to like engage my imagination to in order to create that future. I can't remember where I heard this recently, but there's this sort of like question, apparently, like some people are really questioning whether barter has historically been a kind of inherent part of tribal or, you know, native indigenous world, you know, and worlds, you know, societies, and that relates to what you said, Chris. You know, people just piled onto the ship and started taking stuff. They're not bartering; they're just like, great stuff, you know. And like that's a different, it's a very different perspective. And you know, it's like there is a different kind of world. A different kind of world is possible where, you know, we do, you know, and Jared Winstanley, who I think someone mentioned maybe in the pre-show chat or on the Telegram group or something, you know, he said, and I've said this before on the show, I think, he said, well, what if we just carried on doing exactly what we're doing? We just took the money away. We just carry on doing exactly what you're doing. You know, if you're a carpenter, you just keep doing carpentry, and then you go to the market and you get your veg, you know, and that's it. You just take all the money out, you know, and that's, to me, that's the kind of such a great, like, it's such a mind blowing kind of like, what, hey, you know, and that's what we need to do. You know, we need to challenge our ideas about this. And I love what Oscar said about this thing of own it, you know, that expression. It's kind of, there's something about that expression, because normally people say it about, it's to do with something in your character or something about your, you know, like some quality that you have or some skill that you have or something. It's like, fucking own it, mate. Do you know what I mean? It's like, there's something about that that feels, that just resonates. And it's like where ownership becomes something that is 100% correct, you know, because it's like, yeah, that is me. That's where that phrase comes from. It's like, because it's actually me, it's my quality, you know, that I have. And that's what we need in the world, you know. So that's why I'm kind of trying to emphasize this thing about free will and coming, reducing it down, because I feel like this kind of, otherwise we start to reach out in intellectually, or, you know, towards start to think, oh, how can I be, we lose ourselves straight away, I think, when we think of property as something external. You know, the first thing we need to have ownership of is ourselves. And we haven't got that. I mean, I think maybe I'm echoing what Chris has said, but maybe slightly different language or something. But I don't know, this excites me on this subject. This is where I start to think, hold on, there's something here that's different to the kind of I mean, we haven't talked about Locke, you know, and it's not just Locke. I mean, you referred to a lot of these philosophers and writers, Chris, you know, who started to talk about property and what it was and what it wasn't and all of that. There's obviously there's a big history of that. And I think a lot of what people, as far as I understand, you know, I'm not a big student of philosophy, but as far as I understand it, a lot of it goes back to Locke. A lot of the way that people talk about property is kind of refers back to that and other writers around that time. And I don't know. I feel like there's something here. There's an interesting question here about finding something rawer and more alive. You know. Is it about what ownership is? You know, I own my life, you know, that's the kind of fuck the rest, you know, like that. It's the importance of that, you know, if we were all actually able to like feel that and be free, exercise our free will, then we'd start creating something quite different. And it wouldn't really revolve around, you know, systems of understanding and bartering and giving and taking. It would be just giving, because that's all that we can really do in life, in a way.
Yeah, which is great. And that's what I'm sure everyone here is aspiring to. I just think for that to start manifesting on a large scale, we first need to fully acknowledge that we are completely enslaved by greedy thieves. And that does need to be pointed out just as much as like us experiencing, like we have a responsibility to like feed our spiritual side 100%. We need to keep that going. But I do think that a bit of activism does have to come in order to try and explain to people what has enslaved them and the people that are enslaving them and are still enslaving them. And maybe we'll get to that point afterwards, because it's very difficult in order for people to experience what you're feeling and what you're thinking, Nemo. There's so much mind control to get through, to get to that point. And I don't know, I'm just being totally subjective here. It's just it's where I'm at the moment, is trying to find a balance with like feeding my spirituality so I don't get disheartened with what's going on in the world, so I still keep connection to that aspiration that you're talking about. But at the same time, I'm trying to come up with ways of being more of an activist in pointing out what's happened to us, like the wrongs that have actually happened. Because it's, from what I've researched today, there's been so much theft that's gone on, so much.
I'd like to jump in a bit about this idea of spirituality, of having as like an ideal to be super non-attached to the material realm. And I think there is definitely a truth about to that we don't want to get so attached to the material aspect of reality that we think that it's all there is, and we kind of get stuck in our development, and we're afraid of detaching from that. But I also, I mean, yeah, so in regards to that, I'll just mention something that a member of the Telegram chat wrote about how the Stoics regarded property as something that is with you instead of that it's yours. And since you could lose it at any time, one needs to beware not to be attached to it. And yeah, I think that is definitely something we want to put into the picture of attachment, right? But I don't think it's the same thing, because I can be attached to something that I don't own. And I think it's okay to be attached. It's of course, if you want to take the Buddhist thing, you're going to end up hurting, because nothing is permanent in that way. So the things that I attach myself to, I'm going to have to be confronted with that I need to let go of at some point. But when it comes to property, we're not saying that it's forever. Like, I own this cup. That doesn't mean that forever I'm going to own this cup. Like, I can, like, property doesn't mean that it's, eternal. It can be, like, momentary, right?
Right. Souls are eternal, but in this material realm that we're living in, this incarnation, it's all temporary. We can enjoy it and have a good time, but like you said, not get too
attached. And I think what you were speaking about before, Derek, about that we all have our kingdom, is also really important. I think when we want to look at the micro level, or at the individual, the personal level, we all are rulers of our kingdom. If you want to remove the gender, you can call it dominion, as Mark Passio has done. It's about, it's about you know, really, really healing ourselves, like becoming whole, becoming individuals, meaning non-divided, and having that. Also, if you want to look at the word religion, it has that double meaning, right? It has the meaning of tying back to truth, tying back to God, if you will. Religion is that connection, and that's also something with property. You can say it's about belonging. So like, yeah, equality, belonging to that being, but also a thing belonging to that being. And religion, even though it also has the other meaning of being, you know, you're tied back, you're thwarted from truth, you're kind of retarded in the sense that you're slowed down to arrive to truth because you're tied back, you're tied to falsity. And that's where we can look at those false claims of property. We say, okay, well, I actually believe I own things I don't own. That's where you can say also the vegan argument and the anarchist argument come together, because they're in agreement that there are false claims of property. The anarchists are saying humans are not the property of other humans. We're not subjects of whether it be a monarchy or a republic government and so on, democratic government and whatever it is kind of government. Those are false claims of ownership, and the vegans are aligning with that because they're saying, well, just as above, no one has the right to claim us as property. Well, we are not above anyone else. We don't have the right to claim others as property, other beings. And yeah, that's why the vegans, from a moral, the vegans, as if it's like that one group. There's lots of different reasons why people choose that diet, but the moral reason to choose that diet is because one thinks that one does not have the right to take the body of another being. And that's where also, if we want to just look at the most, I think, most common use of the word property, when we're speaking about land, we're speaking about the ownership of a plot of land or of some territory. And if we're not speaking about the completely absurd, you know, the monarchist perspective of I'm owning, you know, amounts of land that I'm never even going to be able to walk that far. Like, yeah, I'm just gonna, I remember like going, I think it was in there was like, maybe it was Lake Victoria or like some mountain where it was like, yeah, that's my lake, that's my mountain, and I'm just gonna give that to you or something, like where you're kind of going like, that's insane. Like how are you gonna give a huge amount of land to someone, like as if it's yours to give, right? You're not that important. But if we're speaking about property as in the sense, hey, I built my cabin here, or I set up my camp here, and this is the place where I live, where I'm staying, do I have a claim over this place? Like if someone wants to kick me off of this place or wants to say that I don't have the right to be here, would it be true? Would it be in alignment with reality to say that this is my property? This is my place. I live here, and there's a whole world where you can go, but this place right here, this is where I am, and I have the right to stay here, and so on. And the argument against that would be to say, well, you don't have the right to claim property, to claim that land as property, because it's the living being, it's Mother Nature, or it's a whole biosphere of, or not whole biosphere, but it's like a part of an ecosystem of insects and birds and worms and plants, and how can you really claim those as your property? And that's where, yeah, someone was also speaking about stewardship earlier. But I think what I'm really wanting to also point at is how this builds up to the condition we experience at a societal level. So when we do respect each other's dominion over ourselves, or like self-ownership, when we do respect that we all own ourselves and our personal rights, we do create freedom. We do create a state of external anarchy, a state of where no one is ruling over others. And that can actually happen. It is a possibility. It does require knowledge. It does require understanding and applying that philosophy into action. And that is something that we as humans have the possibility of. We're not, if we want to, I'll bring up this slide here of why are we in the condition that we are.
We're trying to wrap it up, brother.
Yeah,
past the hour.
Reason,
you know,
the reason we are in the condition that we're in is because we, at a collective level, do not still understand what does it mean to own something and what does it mean to steal something. And thanks for everyone, Derek, Chris, Yvonne, Nemo, to speak on this subject, because it really is important to clarify what does property mean and what can be owned and what are violations of property if we want to change the current condition that we find ourselves in.
Well said.
Cool. Well, thanks everyone. We're like 15 past the hour. Anyone got any brief closing remarks?
Yeah, sure. Just because Oscar, you touched on it, and I had it written down in regards to animal rights, and you know, it's just a matter of asking yourself: do you own that piece of property of another living being? No one does. Short answer. But you know, with how things have devolved from, you know, humans needing to sometimes, you know, sustain their energy for, you know, thanks to animal products, whatever. Ask yourself this: how do you honor that life that you're ingesting? Things to consider, you know. And also, in the light of today's era with AI, they can, you know, infringe upon all types of copyrights. We've seen, I don't know if you guys have, you know, been up on this. Chris is a copywriter, actually. And it's a slippery slope with some of this AI stuff, because they can just recreate and regenerate anything that's, you know, that humanity has pumped into these algorithms and all this stuff, right? So things to consider. And as Sarah Cross said, thank you so much for the comments. Anything can be taken from you. It's about responsibility and disallowing that action, really, you know, holding that self-defense principle, you know, so folks don't get the idea that they can just take advantage of other people's property and get away with it and continue and perpetuate that, and others get influenced on that bullshit. We got to nip it in the butt type of thing. So, yeah. That's all I got. Thanks for everyone joining the chat tonight.
Thank you.
Yeah, I just got one little thing. I had a little message from Voluntarist Academy. Voluntarism is the future. But he also recommended Pierre Joseph Proudhon. And Proudhon believed that all possessions have two parts, a part that is for the individual's liberty and a part that belongs to society. So he both said that property is theft and that property is liberty. So there's a lot of philosophy to study on this topic, and it's not a simple one. But I think the main clear message I would send to folks, the takeaway, is your body and your choice is the property that we're really concerned with. And there are other people, other entities like the government making claims and telling lies to you about that situation. And it's time to wake up to the value of your choice and your will, as Nemo says. And I think that's a heart-based communication that you're sharing. And I really do appreciate it. Now that I really understand it more fully and how you're presenting it, I really appreciate that, Nemo. Thank you.
Thanks, Chris. Yvonne, any last thoughts?
Yeah, just on the back of what Chris just said, I'd like to give a shout out to Derek and Leslie and the lady that you interviewed that you put on today. Is it Henna? I keep forgetting.
Henna Maria.
Yeah, because I think she's gave a great example of how we can take steps to gradually getting away from the enslavement And yeah, I think it's well worth a watch. I don't know if you could. What was it on? No, it was on Divide. Was it? What channel was it, Derek?
That good old Dissolving the Divide.
Dissolving the Divide, yeah. I'd highly recommend, yeah, there you go, watch it. Because instead of, I know I brought up some heavy things about the royal family owning this and owning that. I don't want people to go away and think that they're powerless. The only way forward, I think, is for the collective to start learning what morality is. And I think we're all, over the centuries, have succumbed, yeah, to a mindset that needs to be changed first. So it's just on the back of what Chris was saying. It has to come from, yeah, yourself. And then I'm sure the rest will take care of itself, and we'll maybe reach the point where you're thinking, Nemo, eventually. But it's maybe we won't see it in our lifetime, but we've got to keep, yeah, pushing forward.
Friendly reminder, because Chris, thank you so much for joining us. He is organizing this next Freedom Under Natural Law conference, Funnel 4, happening February 22nd. It'll be online for free and all that good stuff, and there'll be myself included, even Theo Lukes a little bit, Leslie, and the whole Natural Law gang that's been at it for quite some time. So, yeah.
And we got some good music starting to line up, too. We've got three or four musicians that are going to give us some good tracks to play too, so it'll be a fun weekend.
Sorry if you don't mind that plugging real quick, Nemo. Yeah.
No, of course. I think we should be doing more plugging. Really, I'd like to plug my myself a bit more than I do. But
yeah, go for it, man.
Well, I mean, you know,
you can find your stuff on the Link Hub though.
That's true. Yeah, but it's nice to say. So, you know, you can find my stuff at nemojones.com. Oh, yeah. There's music, there's songs, and there's my blog, Reporting for Beauty. I'm working on a bit where I'm researching like Proudhon and all of these kind of guys, trying to figure out the history of thought around this. So it's this has been a great opportunity to do more research, really, from my point of view. But thank you all for being here. Really appreciate it. Thanks to all the people in the chat. The chat's been like absolutely going crazy today. Mm-hmm. I can't follow it. It's a bit unfortunate, but hopefully we're still working towards getting it up on the screen in the future. Hopefully that will be happening. As always, you can join the Telegram group and join in discussions there. We're going to go from here. Whoever wants to can come straight to the Telegram group and chat to us there. That's what we're going to be doing for another half hour, whatever it is. And next week we are going to be talking about free will, I believe. Free will / responsibility. I think that's going to be our title for next week. So have a think about that. What the hell is that all about? And we've obviously touched on it a lot today. Okay, I think that's all I need to say. Remember to like, comment, subscribe, share, all of those things. And thanks again, everyone. Great discussion. And I'll see you next week on Europa Natural Law.